We will play work sessions to go over the concerns and recommendations. So, President, we call the council, please.
Council President Cardoza?
Here.
Councilmember Jones?
Here.
Councilmember Boobin Vanderhar? Councilmember Steer?
Here.
Mayor Nelson?
Here.
Thank you.
All right, John, we will turn the meeting over to you for presentation.
Okay, Mayor, thank you. Thank you very much for the record, John Marsh. This workshop is about employee health insurance benefits and solely that. And so in your packet, I'm assuming that you all received what I said. Hopefully you did. If none of that makes sense, please so state, and we can certainly cover that. But my objective here is to just kind of get us going, give some facts, keep it really high level, kind of get to a starting point, because there's so many angles to this, there's so many options, there's so many different ways for us to get way off into the weeds that it could never get solved. So I'd like to just start off with a couple of facts of how we got to where we are. All along in benefits, health benefits rewrite, the objective has been kind of twofold. Number one, the employees have always said, and their number one complaint has always been that the dependent coverage for health insurance is not affordable. And by all accounts, that is correct, unless you're fairly independently wealthy. And so the other objective or the other goal is to mitigate costs and to help keep costs down for the city. Of all the line items in the budget, if I had to place my finger on one item, that's probably the single most troublesome one that this body has to try to mitigate is health insurance costs. It's going skyrocket, and it doesn't seem to be anything that can control it for whatever reason. There's too many variables in the marketplace. So with that said, what we have is our current health insurance provider is Regence Blue Shield of Idaho, who has been our provider for quite some time now. And their renewal that became effective on 12/1 put forth a 17.3% premium increase, which is very material to our budget, and is actually good. If we were to leave it the way it is and let it go through the course of the year, we're going to experience about a $16,000 budget overrun citywide. So everybody following me so far? And so that's another reason for this, and that's the cost-cutting element. we went out and chopped it. We've done it a couple times. The second time we've done that, we got the same result. And the same result is that the leading contender for meeting our goals is an entity called Select Health. And Select Health is a fairly new player in this market. They've been here, I think, about 4 years now. They're what's called a narrow plan provider in what they're offering us. And what that means is they've negotiated with a single care provider, which is St. Luke's Health System in Idaho. And they've negotiated as St. Luke's is their, I guess you would call it their PPO, their preferred provider organization. So in their plan, you would have to go to a St. Luke's provider for them to cover at the prescribed rates that they have in their quotation. Does that make sense to everybody? And in the marketplace, what you're seeing, the Statesman even had an article on this very recently that is becoming the norm. A lot of providers are going to a narrow network now to be competitive with one another. So as we shopped it, Blue Cross of Idaho, Pacific Source, who else was there? Regents, to a certain degree, they all have some form of a narrow plan, but none of them were competitive or as competitive as Select Health. So that's kind of where we are. Select Health has a couple of options that we can pursue. The recommended element that Select Health has is a dual option, which involves a traditional plan with a lower deductible, or an HSA health savings account, which is a fairly new product on the market. And it has a higher deductible, so it carries with it a lower premium and the ability to save premium costs. And so a dual plan allows you the ability to kind of mix and match and have a lot of leverage in your plan design. And so any questions so far? And I included all that information in your packet, so hopefully you had a chance to kind of look through that. It's probably very confusing. There's a lot of numbers flying around there. And so a few more facts. Went through the shortfall within our budget. The budget was $281,638 citywide. And there are 38 benefit eligible employees and one elected official in that number. I gave you 281,638. So beyond that, any questions thus far? Any questions at all? Okay. So what I want to do is kind of take you down to a point where, based upon what's been provided, the cheapest option for the city, and that cheapest option will tell you what your savings is. And from there, I think the best way to go about it is to have you discuss amongst yourselves and maybe ask for opinions from staff or whatnot on what's going to be the best way to design this plan. There's so many different angles for you to look at, from dependent coverage to contributions to an HSA to no dependent coverage to a single HSA to a single traditional plan or a dual option. There's so many options that it could be kind of tough to get through. So a couple of other things that we have to be aware of. Currently in the plan, the current policy allows for dependent coverage at 50% of the dependent premiums to be covered by the city for only one class of employees. Under Affordable Care Act, that's problematic. The IRS has issued a statement that says that's discriminatory. They do have some penalties that they've published as a result of violating that. However, they have stated that they're not enforcing it at this point in time, but it is an IRS code section, not to mention the perception of discrimination. So the idea is, as we go forward, is that is going to have to go away unless you choose to leave it in place and want to accept potential IRS penalty. Does everybody understand that? Okay. So as I mentioned, if we look at the cheapest option that we've been provided, which is from Select Health, and that's an HSA plan, a high deductible plan, for an employee only, the deductible is $2,000. If we were to take all 38 of those employees that we budgeted currently, that made up that 281,638, and place them in that HSA as a starting point, the cheapest alternative, we're at a surplus now, a budget surplus of $160,147. So does everybody kind of follow where we're at? What I've tried to do is take us from where we're at today in the budget to where we could go, the very cheapest alternative as a starting point. And that starting point then could be a launch pad for you to discuss some of the other options that you could go from and include from there. Does that make sense? Councilmember Cardoza, I think I've lost you.
No, okay. No, I guess we're about $120,000 below what we were paying before. Is that correct? We were paying 281, we're down to 160 on the base plan. Is that correct?
133 on the base. If we put everybody on HSA, it's 133.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, 121,491 would be the savings. Yeah. So if we went to everybody to the HSA base plan, employee only, as we have it today, and get rid of the 50% for appointed only, we have a surplus of $121,491. Yeah, sorry, I gave you the wrong number. I said 160. It's actually $121,491.
Okay.
Makes sense.
We're going to work our way up to a better plan.
Yeah. Okay. That's my objective now. I could have lost you, could have confused you.
Is this a PPO or an HMO, since it's specifically St. Luke's?
That's a good question. I really don't know whether it would be an HMO. It's actually, well, it's an HSA, and whether that qualifies as an HMO, I wouldn't know for sure. But under what it is, it's an HSA. They call it an HD, high deductible plan. And it's kind of what is the norm in the marketplace now, as our insurance liaisons have told us, is what they're seeing. Everybody's kind of in the same boat. It's not just our plan. It's pretty much everybody's in the same boat. They're experiencing double-digit rate increases. So some of these things that are coming on the marketplace are totally
okay. The reason I'm asking is, on an HMO, the penalty for going out of the system is quite regulatory. As a PPO, you can go out of the system without a penalty usually, and that's why I'm asking. Okay.
So are you talking, so like under an HSA, if you go to a non-St. Luke's provider Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Out of the system.
Yeah, so out of their provider network.
The penalty's quite steep, and that, on a PPO, you wouldn't have that as on an HMO you would.
Yeah.
HSA, I'm not sure what the penalty is going outside the system.
Yeah, and that's a good question. So let me give you just a quick example of how they've structured that. So under the dual option plan, if it's an HSA under Select Health, the deductible for an individual employee is $2,000, and that's within the St. Luke's Health Network. If you use physicians that are outside the St. Luke's Health Network, that deductible goes to $3,500. Does that make sense? So that is your penalty. On top of, as an example, your primary care, so your physician's visit is $35 in network. If you go out of that, it's 50%. So you would pay 50%. So that is your penalty. And the same thing under the traditional plan, they have the same structure. Does that make sense?
Penalty is quite high.
Yeah. So, yeah, they do that because they've negotiated a contract, in this case, with St. Luke's Health System. So if you step out and go to a St. Alphonsus physician, they certainly don't want to pay the lower rates on that.
Have you approached the employees, how many are outside this St. Luke's congregation, if we were to go with this?
What we've provided is, I think I sent out in an email, there's a link to the Select Health website that where you can go out and you can put in a provider to find out if it's in their network. Other than that, I don't know. I haven't pulled them exactly yet.
So we don't know what the consequences is if we go with this.
Right. And certainly there are going to be those that have a physician that's not a St. Luke's provider. And in that case, either they're going to have to either stick with their existing provider or choose a St. Luke's provider. And that is the downfall to a narrow plan.
Yeah. Thank you, John.
Okay. So does everybody kind of understand where we're at? Okay. So you've got, in this case, you've got $121,491. And in your packet, you had this sheet that lists all your options. Does everybody still have that? Okay. So I guess the next step would be to start discussing some elements where you could start from this base plan if you're interested in making some changes to that. One of which is, do you want to consider dependent healthcare premiums? Some other options are, do you want to structure it as a dual option plan, meaning the employee can choose either the high deductible or the traditional plan. In that case, you may want to equalize the premiums to make the cost to the city the same. And what I mean by equalize the premiums is, if you're gonna choose the more expensive traditional plan, the employee would bear the cost, the difference in the premiums, and so the city would be on equal footing as far as cost goes. Does that make sense?
Well, you know, just from my standpoint, because we're all confused on this, the government makes sure that we are, but it seems like, you know, in just going over ourselves and our relatives and what have you, no one plan sits real well for everybody. And so I kind of like the idea that we have at least a dual option there, like the HSA. I love the idea of the HSA because they can build a savings account with it.
Sure.
And you know, and the money's always theirs, and kind of rewards them for using it. And then others with children and what have you, I'm not so sure just where they fit in, but you know, that's why I think a dual thing, if we could consider that, I think that'd be about the best that we could do this year.
Sure. Yeah, and a dual option, and then you have some decisions in there whether you'd want to equalize the premiums. In other words, making it equal from a cost standpoint to the city. So if somebody chose a traditional plan in a dual option, say it's an employee, they would pay the difference in the premiums between the HSA and the traditional. So to give you an example, if it was just an employee, it would be $58 a month, $58.10 a month, I think is what it boils down to. Does that make sense? So let me tell you how I got that. So under the HSA plan, an employee only it would amount to $351.20 per month in premiums. Under the traditional plan, it would cost just an employee only, $409.30. So the difference is $58.10. So what equalization means is if an employee chose that traditional plan, which is more expensive, to make it the same cost for the city, regardless of which plan they choose, the employee would make up the difference. And in this case, it would be $58.10 a month. And that's what equalization means. Does that make sense? Sort of.
Well, it probably doesn't make much sense to any of us, but we understand what you're saying.
Concept. Yeah. Okay. And that's an option that doesn't, you know, that doesn't have to be something that comes into play. But it depends on how you want to structure it from a city cost standpoint. Any input? Thoughts?
John, I wonder what might help a little bit is to try to do some basic questions at first before
sure.
we get down to the...
Sure.
Because I've got a good grasp on this because I deal with this every year on my own. I have an HSA. Okay. I have dual option. I think dual option is fine. I don't
sure.
have an issue. I think that's the best route to go because that puts the employee in control of how they want to go.
Okay.
Going to this, your select health options where you have this single page with the five different options on there.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to walk through them real fast because a couple of these we can just rule out altogether.
Okay.
It might make it less confusing for
okay.
anybody. I went across the board 1 through 5. The very first one, Regent Current, is pretty much no longer because that is just what we pay.
Right.
So, I mean, and technically we can't even get that to tonight. Tomorrow,
yeah.
whenever. I mean,
exactly.
that those numbers do not really mean anything. It's just as a baseline of going future.
Exactly.
So we have a choice of either if we stay with Blue Shield, or we have Regents.
Regents, yeah.
Okay, we stay with Regents, that will be option two. And at that point, that's going to cost the city $16,000. And nobody, and there'd be no additional help for dependents.
Right.
And looking at those numbers, it would probably be astronomical for anybody to even afford dependents.
Exactly.
And I think that's where the problem is.
Exactly.
Option 3 and 4 are roughly the same, except that for the two different deductibles, or the two different premiums, of a $6 difference between option 3 and 4. So a savings of $6 gives you a higher deductible. I think option 4... we should just rule out altogether.
Yes.
If everybody understands what I'm talking about, there's only a $6 savings to, and your deductible goes from $500 to $1,000, and that's all you're getting in $6,000 or $6 savings. So I think really, to me, the way I look at it, we have a choice of 2, 3, and 5. 2 would be to stay with Regents, which I don't know if anybody wants to do that. And the dual option that we would have to offer would be rows 3 and 5.
Correct.
Either the what I call PPO on 3, that might be an HMO, I don't know. I should say traditional, I guess I should call
yep.
it more traditional than PPO, or the HSA. So to me, I think we need to decide whether or not we're going to stay with Regents or we're going to go to a dual option unless somebody doesn't want to do a dual option. But I think, I personally don't see why not give them the choice. I guess that would help us move forward if I can get those answers, if everybody's okay, or if everybody's comfortable doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Joe?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Just for to continue
yeah.
our discussion. I mean, obviously, I don't, unless you want to, I know you're, we'll still hold the Regents in there, but. So I look at it, just so you guys understand, really the best way to look at it between a traditional and an HSA is, look at yourself to see what you're already spending right now as far as your deductibles. Do you meet your deductible every year? If you meet your deductible every year, a traditional prepays that deductible, where an HSO, you pay it, right? HSA, you pay as you go. That's pretty much the two difference between the two plans. If you don't meet your deductible every year, you're prepaying for something that you may not use under traditional, where an HSA will save you money in the long run. Because if you wind up only spending $300 to $500 on your insurance deductible every year, it's costing you roughly I'd have to work that out to see exactly what it is, but it's costing you more than $500 to pay for the traditional. Because it's going to cost you $58 a month times 12. So you're at $600. So right there, you've lost $100. So unless you, at that 600 break even point of what you're spending, it just really depends on whether or not you want to prepay it or you want to pay as you go. The other difference is in a traditional plan, the option 3, you cannot have an HSA account. You cannot put pre-tax dollar money into that. I don't know if any of you have looked to see what you can spend on your HSA. Your HSA account can be used for a lot of things that is mainly medical coverage, from your deductible to your prescriptions to, I mean, there's procedures you can do that's not covered. You can actually also take an HSA, use that money on somebody who's not even covered under your plan. If your kid is covered under your wife's plan, let's say, or spouse's plan, should say, you can use that money on him too. All that matters to the IRS is that you claim him at the end of the year on your taxes.
You can use it for like vitamins and over the counter stuff too.
Oh, there's
like
a huge
tons
yeah.
of stuff at the farm, so it's not just like serious medical stuff.
Yeah. I mean, there's as long as it's a medical related expense, you can use your HSA. Now, the way I look at this is, in order to make, if we decide to get rid of the Regions plan, in order to make everybody whole exactly how we are today, we have to be under the Select Health, which is option 3, and that's going to cost you, or the city, I should say, it will cost the city $4,900, $4,911 is 60 cents. That is what it would cost every employee to get exactly the same coverage you have today. It's a full-blown, low deductible, and it just mirrors what you have, except for the provider's the only difference. So I have no problem giving everybody a credit, $49.11 towards whatever you want to do as far as your insurance to start, and that's just a starting point. By doing that, if we go to the $49.11, it actually costs the city $186,640, which gives us a savings of the city of $94,998. Now, to me, I value my health insurance as the most important benefit I can get. I think it's more important than sick pay, vacation pay, any other thing. So I have tried to do everything that I could to try to figure out to help you guys, because I know how valuable health insurance is. The thing that I'm going to look at, and I've got to keep in mind myself, is if we were to do this tomorrow and switch, that's $94,000 I can put back into the kitty to spend on something else. So how do we get to that point to make it fair for everybody? I would like to treat everybody the same. Everybody will get under what I want to do, everybody will get the same exact amount of money. So it's even across the board, from a single person to a person to family. And I think you can do it. The only one that's really going to maybe possibly struggle is the family plan. That is the most expensive one, and that's the hardest one to do. So with that, I'm looking at, we have $94,000 instead of the $130,000 that John was saying. Because I don't think, I would never put all you guys on an HSA, employee only, and take it. I think that's not the best in your best interest. But if we take the traditional, I can't give you a contribution because you don't have an HSA account. So that's something you have to think about if you take that traditional route. So at that point, I don't have a problem starting that if everybody wants to do it that way. I don't know if somebody else has another suggestion. If you guys have looked into the different, I've got a spreadsheet of what I've come up with and to make it pretty affordable, because really, if I look at it from a taxpayer's point of view, and I'm going to look, and I'm just going to put that hat on before I go, and I'm talking about me, myself, not as a council member, because I know there's a bigger picture of me being a council member. by switching programs, we've already accomplished both of our goals. We've already saved money in taxes, and we've also already reduced the cost to put your dependents on anywhere from 37% to 61%. So we've decreased the what it would cost if you had to pay out of it compared to what you pay now, almost an average of 50%. So we've really met our goals without spending any of the savings. I don't have a problem. I think we can get there. I'm a little hesitant, and I'm just being upfront and honest with you guys. I'm a little hesitant to take all that savings and give it all back. I don't think that's fair to the taxpayers.
Mr. Mayor, could I just ask a question here? I recognize that Councilman Jones has spent some time on this, but some of us are looking at this for the first time. I'm not sure. I think I'm usually fairly quick on the uptake, but I'm not sure I took up all of that. And I'm not sure that, say, somebody like me is made whole. I'm not sure that all the guys are made whole, and I'm not sure that the windfall of the $94,000, I'm not sure that that's balanced. I'd like a little time to think about this, and I'd like a little time from those that report to me to have a chance to think about this and measure it before we get jumping too quickly here. Because I would agree with Councilman Jones that this is the big deal, and the big risk and the big exposure for the employees is the uncertainty of health costs, particularly surprise health situations coming up, which we cannot foresee. So we're trying to look for protection. We're not looking for trying to figure out how to get a windfall necessarily for the bottom line. That was already budgeted for the way it is now to all of a sudden expose the employees without having a chance to kind of pick through this seems to be a little bit, uncareful.
Well, I would tend to agree with Gordon that before we actually adopt permanently, the employees should have the right to go over how this is individually going to affect them.
I was under the impression that there'd been like numerous workshops, and this has been like a months-long process where we did get a ton of employee input. Yeah.
There's been three meetings.
Okay.
And this is the same information that was in all three of those meetings. Okay. So what it
was. You did the interview some today, didn't you?
I did, and then the rest I couldn't because the auditors were here, so the rest I sent out electronic format. But it's the same information that we've had for a while. We've had the insurance brokers in here to answer questions. We didn't have great attendance on that one, but it's the same information. Nothing's changed.
Okay.
So yeah. It's,
well, what was the reaction to the ones that you talked to today?
Well, it's mixed reaction. I know that some of them were supportive of a dual option. Some were supportive of an HSA. Some were interested in an HRA. Some were willing to do what it would take to save the city money. By the same token, they were hoping that the city would take care of them. So if they chose an HSA, there would be some HSA contributions that came back. I think there's just some general, trepidation that you would expect with change. But I think from the folks that I did speak to directly, I think there was some positives. I think they were good signs. For sure. I don't think anybody was ready to jump off the cliff, but overall, I think this isn't going to change. Nothing's going to change no matter what we do. I think this is the best we're going to get.
Well, is there any class that is actually hurt by this? It seems like, from what I'm hearing, that there's kind of a positive thing in all of the classes. But we were worried particularly about the family with their dependents. And will they pay less under this plan than under the Regents plan?
Well, and that's a good question. It depends on what the council would like to do. And that's you need to, and I think Councilmember Jones has one solution where there's a flat, is it, correct me if I'm wrong, there's a flat contribution to every employee, no matter what your familial situation is. So it depends on what that amount is and how, and what class you're in. So if it, and I apologize, I don't have that number in front of you, but if it is the family plan, and maybe that would be the one, because it's the most expensive, that would probably suffer. Without having that information for me, I don't know. But it just depends, and that's why I say it depends on what the council wants to consider and how they want to structure it.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Well, I think I would be in favor of, you know, looking at the other options and then letting the employees ask some questions and that. I will say that 2 years ago, from my personal experience, the fire district went from Regents to Select Health. And I was quite worried about that transition, but when it came time to actually file some claims and do some work with Select Health, I had never had any kind of customer service from anywhere like that before.
That's good.
They called, they actually would find doctors and make appointments, and I mean, they bent over backwards to help. So I was pleasantly surprised with customer service, so I know that's a good thing from Select Health, but I think we really need to vet all these questions with the employees and make sure that they're as comfortable as possible with it, so.
John?
Open.
Mayor?
I was going to say, does the council want to take questions from the employees?
Sure.
Okay. Pat, after you finish on your question, we'll...
I think what the council has to decide, because it's going to be the defining factor of what the employees pay, is whether or not, one, are we going to treat everybody equally, or are we going to not necessarily penalize, but take any windfall from one employee to give it to the other, because that's the only way you're going to make it even. There's just no other way to do it. I'll tell you right now, I'll just throw it out there. In order for you to get the lowest possible rate for a family is to take everything that we got, cross the board, take all the savings, dump everything back into it. It's still $150 a pay period. It's still $300 a month to put a family on insurance if you treat everybody equally. But by doing that also, if you treat everybody equally, that also gives a $250 credit to the single person, because they're costing you a third of what a family costs you. So I think the council's got to decide whether or not we're going to make everybody even, or we're going to take one from another to give to the other, because that's the only way you're going to get it somewhat even affordable.
Yeah, and thank you. Yeah, that's a good comment. I mean, there has to be, from the start, what does the council want to do with the projected surplus based upon a benchmark starting point? Do you want to consider dependent premiums? And that's probably the primary question you have to answer. And if you want to consider covering dependent premiums, at what level? 40%, 50%, 60%? And we have those numbers. Do you want to, like Councilmember Jones says, do you want to try to make everybody equal on a playing field, on the same playing field, and just say we're going to take the 38 employees, divide them into the surplus, and not and keep your budget to where it is, not take any of that into your coffers, and everybody's got the same contribution? Or do you just say, because you have a family and because you don't have a family, we're not going to try to make you even. It's just a benefit we pay, regardless of what your familial situation is. So if you're single, you get this coverage. If you're happen to be family, you get this coverage, and the city will pay X percent of your premiums for dependent coverage, or no premiums for dependent coverage. That's kind of the sticking point. Council's got to figure out where they're comfortable, whether they want to stick with the budgeted dollars as they are, or try to save some of those dollars, or go over budget. So they kind of have three options there. Does that make sense?
Councilman Jones, when you went through the calculation there just a minute ago, so if we took every dollar that the city is spending on insurance right now, and divided it up equally among all the employees, for a family, there would still be a shortfall, did you say $300?
Yeah, well, that's per month. And I'll look at
$300 per month.
Yeah, I'll do it annually for you. It might be a little easier to understand. If you take the 281 divided by 38, it's $7,800, 78 and some change. Okay, to put a, and the only way you're going to save the biggest amount of money, the lowest premium to you is going to be the HSA. The HSA for an employee is only $4,200. So right there, it's $3,500. That employee already is budgeted for $3,500 more than what it cost you. You go to a family, though, it's $12,220. To put a family on there. So there, you're, if I'm only, if you're only allotted $7,800, you're short $5,000. So in order to get your premiums down to where, I don't know what is manageable, that's gonna be the other biggest question, is what is manageable to the employees? You're gonna have to take some of that surplus from the employee only and give it to the person who has the family. Now, whether or not some think that's fair and some don't, that's gonna be a decision that you guys are gonna have to make, I guess. I mean, if you guys want to make that decision, then I'll entertain what your decision is. But the only thing that I have, and I'll tell you where I'm coming from with this whole surplus, and the thing that I guess I'm a little disappointed in out of all this, is that if we went last year and shopped our health insurance, we could have saved that $95,000 and kept it with the same coverage we have right now. And that's what I'm disappointed in, because we could have saved money by doing this sooner with giving the employee all the same coverage without even talking to dependents. And I don't understand why that was not a driving force to look for cheaper insurance, when the only thing that's driving it right now is the employee's dependents. There's nothing wrong with it, I'm just disappointed. And that's what's driven us to look for cheaper insurance to cover the employees, but not to save taxpayers money. And I'm a little disappointed in that. But I don't have a problem. We put 280 in, 281 in, that's fine. You guys can do that. I've got other calculations where you could take half the money, put it into an HSA for everybody, get their money down, take the other half of the money, put it back into a bucket, and you guys can have the same premium for 8 years with a 10% increase in premium and only a 5% increase in your budget. I mean, there's a lot of options you can do with that money, and then that might help the directors, because you can say in the next 5 years, we can absorb any increase we got and keep everybody the same premium. I mean, that's something to look at too. I don't have a problem taking the money and put it in there. I'll let you guys decide that, but there's other options to use for that money to make it so the premiums don't go up every year. Because like John says, who's to say to next year it's 20% again? How do we absorb that? So I know there's a lot of information out there, and you're gonna have to run all those numbers, but you know, if you put it all into an HSA right now and spend every single dime, you know, an employee by themselves has a $125 credit every pay period. An employee and spouse is going to cost you $35 a pay period. Employee and child, $19 a pay period. Employee and children, $19 a pay period. And a family would cost you $207.94 a pay period. I think if you punch in the numbers going with an HSA, I think you're going to be made whole, Gordon, if you go that route. I know what you're talking about.
And undoubtedly, yeah, you're correct. I'm kind of one of those guys, I like to pencil it down myself.
Oh, I know. That's the only way I can see it. I can't. I've got a mess right now I got to deal with later that I stuck it in my head, and it's just, I'm all confused now. But the only thing that I can possibly see being a disadvantage going to Select Health, like John says, is St. Luke's is your network, and everybody else is an out-of-network. And if anybody's had to deal with that under your insurance, you see there is different charges. So that's where you may have to go get new doctors or pay the difference. But if you take the HSA, you can put that pre-tax dollars in, and you guys can contribute yourselves
pre-tax dollars. So, I mean, you can get a nice kitty going, and if you don't use it, you can, after you, I think it's $2,000, you can invest it and take any dividends from your investment back into your HSA as long as you keep it there. You could probably, I don't know what the cap is, you can retire after 20 years and have $50,000 in your HSA that you can use for retirement, for medical expenses when you retire, if you don't go to the doctor a lot.
But you still have the upper end coverage. If you exceed a certain amount, you're still fully covered with the HSA.
Yeah, your deductibles are just increased is the only difference. I mean, I think John had it. I mean, your HSA, your family is, I'll go family because that's probably the, you might, on a HSA in your family, you have a $4,000 deductible compared to a $1,500 deductible under the traditional. Your out-of-pocket expenses is in a traditional $8,000, but only $10,000 in an HSA. So, I mean, it's actually even less, which I'm actually even looking at. It's kind of surprising that your out-of-pocket is low for an HSA compared to your traditional. Usually they're almost double, or at least, you know, half. So, I mean, that... Now, I don't... I'm a little confused on their in-network deductibles compared to the out-of-network deductible. I don't understand why they're doing that. It's just, I guess it's just driving you to use their network. I don't have to deal with that. I have a network, but I actually have Blue Cross, so my network is going to be bigger than what St. Luke's is, obviously. But if you are willing to do that, I mean, you can save some money and you can, you know, put a lot of money in your HSA, and I think where the problem is the biggest thing is how you cover a family, or, you know, somebody that's, you know, can somebody afford $300 a month to cover their family? That's going to be the biggest question.
We had a question back here. Did you want to ask a question?
Well, I was wondering if you had an HSA, does it, can you select that with being insured somewhere else? I wasn't sure if that worked like that or not.
I need them to come to the mic and identify themselves if they would.
I'm Jesse Morphin. Okay, my question is, if you had the HSA, if you went HSA, can you be covered with another insurance and still select HSA?
If your other insurance offers HSA, you can't. See, you can't take an HSA here. John, correct me if I'm wrong. You have to, in order to get our HSA, you have to be on our plan. So you can't just elect, I want the HSA contribution and be on my wife's plan.
No, say I get our plan, but yep. Still I'm covered with my wife also. And I don't know if other people are or not. Can I still select that here?
You can take the HSA here and then be on your wife's plan. Yeah, you can still do both. Yeah, and you can take that HSA and use it for you, your wife, your kid, or anything. Okay. So really, for somebody who has a spouse that has a plan, it may be cheaper to keep the kids on the spouse's plan than to go our plan. You dump everything you can in the HSA, it's pre-tax, and then use it to pay all your expenses, and it's a win-win almost.
Okay. So basically, though, but these plants here, we're going to have two choices, and that's about it, right? And this $86,000 or whatever we're going to save, I think should be dumped back in and divided equally among everybody. If these people pick HSA, they get a little more. People that don't, they get a little more to go towards their family instead of trying to save money and put it away for a rainy day because...
And I don't have a problem with that. Yeah. If that's what you guys want to do. I mean, I like I said, I've expressed my disappointment of why this happened, but I have no problem. He says we budgeted the 281. I personally don't have a problem dumping it. That's spend what you guys prefer. Spend it all in there. But if you make everybody equal, your employee only is going to have a surplus. They're going to be we're going to be putting $250 into their HSA every month.
And that's their benefit.
That's their benefit, where you are just going to have a lower premium to put your kids on.
And the family.
And with no, and the only way you're going to HSA money is you put it in yourself. So your HSA is going to be... And actually, what's going to happen most likely, though, is that you guys have to consider and think about, too, is the only way this is going to happen, your HSA is not going to go toward your premium. So your premium really is going to be whatever plus your... So if I put in, say your premium's $200, and I give you $100 HSA contribution, in your mind, you're thinking $100, but it's still going to be $200 out of your paycheck. Every paycheck, your $100 is going to go in a separate account. So in essence, it's still only costing you $100, but you're not going to, you can't take the HSA and apply it towards a premium, because that's not what, they don't allow you to use it for your premium. So you have to...
Yeah, pay for your own premium, but the city's going to cover the employees also still, right? 100% like they have been?
Yeah, I have no issue with that. The employee only covered 100%. Yeah, you've been that way. There's my goal, and I don't think it's anybody's goal up here, is to take anything away. And so it just depends on how you guys want to do it. What it boils down to is do you guys all want to be treated equally? Or are you willing to give up some of yours because it's not costing the city as much to insure you as is the person next to you? And that's because that's what's going to drive the numbers. And I think that's what you guys all have to decide how you want to do. If you want to treat equally, you can pencil it out.
As far as when
you
say drive numbers, is that going to still put what was budgeted, all back into the kitty pool?
You put all $281,000. I have no problem if you guys want to split it up. It's just how you want to split it up. You want to split up equally, or do you want to give somebody a family a little more and take away from a single person to help the family? That's for you guys to decide.
That's the question.
That's the way I look at it. I mean, I don't know anybody else. Okay. I mean, if everybody's agreeing to spend all $280,000 back into it, that's going to be the biggest question. Okay. And you have to think also the PPO, if you go the traditional, there is no HSA. There's no way to change that. So really, the only way you're going to get that money is by doing an HSA. And the HSA also long-term will keep your premiums lower because technically you use it less.
But on the dual option, you each individual get to pick HSA or the family coverage.
Correct. Well, no, you choose HSA or traditional. The family coverage is on both of them.
Yeah.
It's just whatever your premium is going
to
be. I mean,
but you get to pick out of the two plans, right?
Yeah, but see, the problem is that if you do, it's going to be a lot of work for John to figure that out, because, I mean, it's harder for him to try to figure out how to make the traditional equal. Because if we take the HSA, it's very easy to make everything equal, because it's the same. Because you have a cost difference of $600 between the two plans on employee only.
Yeah. But I'm saying if we adopt them, I can pick the HSA, Bob can pick the family.
Traditional, yeah.
So we can then split it up equally between everybody on the leftover windfall.
Well, the way I look at it is if you want to do that, everybody gets a $700-$800 credit. That's the easiest way to do it, and you guys can do whatever you want with it. But just remember that though, if you have a traditional plan, I can't give you any surplus. There's no way for me legally to do it.
Yeah, but they can cover more of their family though.
They can cover more of your premium. I guess we can do it that way and do
you
it.
You pick up more. Let me say, it's, what is it? To cover a family, 777?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that if you got $7,800, I'll just make it easier, $7,900 to spend.
Yeah.
And a traditional plan for the employee is $4,900, $3,000 surplus. I can't give you a dime in that $3,000 because you're already getting exactly what you get. You have no out-of-pocket expense.
Yeah, they're covering their family for, say, $150 a month, which is pretty affordable instead of the $700 you have to pay now.
It would cover Bob's family
with
your money. If you're right with that, I can't give you your surplus. Because I'm not giving you any money to begin with. How would I give you the $3,000 if your insurance is only costing me $49? And if in an HSA, I can give it to you in a contribution.
Yeah, I mean, if I pick contribution, he picks traditional. We each get $7,800. Can't you put the $7,800 towards his family plan?
Yes.
And then put the $7,800 into an HSA contribution for
not
a single person?
Not if you're on a traditional plan, you can't. See, that's why you have to take the HSA to get that.
That's what I'm saying, but it'll still be even across the board for everybody.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to do that way. But the only person you have to look at is the employee only. Employee only, the only way you're going to get any surplus is with an HSA. If you take a traditional, there's no way to do it because there's no money to give you.
Yeah, and that'd
there's be not, there's the no, there's no premiums to lower, I guess, to put it that way.
Okay.
So that $3,000 will just go back into
you contribution.
If you want to split it up with everybody else to help them, you can do that. Or you can put it back into
the general savings account, right?
You can't put it, not even traditional, you don't get any savings.
No, not traditional, no. It's not traditional, but.
I'll just show you on paper.
Yeah.
I don't know if you understand what I'm saying.
Okay, yeah, no, I think I understand what you're saying. So. All right, thank you.
So, Councilman Jones, so with the HSA, the city is making a payment to the provider or insurance company.
Yep.
And making a payment to the employee's health savings account.
Correct. If you do that, if you want to treat everybody equal, take the 78 and the difference into this savings account. The only one that would get anything is the employee only. Everybody else, it would just lower your premiums per se. You still will get money in your HSA, but on a traditional plan, that's the employee only is the only one that would be less on either plan. That's going to be less than the $7,800. Every other person is more than $7,800.
Would it be okay from the governing board's point of view as if we could have John run us some numbers for each of us individually and how that's going to work for us, kind of see those things? Is that too much to ask, John? Then I wonder if the consideration would come from the board to allow us to do that over the next little bit.
How much time would that take, John?
I don't think it would take very long. I just need to make sure I've got specific instructions, though. So just to clarify, we would take the entire budget that's in right now and divide that up by 38 employees to get the total that would be allocated to each person. So then each person could determine based upon what familial coverage they want. If they were a single, they can choose traditional, or they can choose the HSA, and we can run those numbers and say, okay, if you choose traditional, it's going to cost you X, but you're going to have money left over that you can't do anything with. That still stays with the city's coffers. If you choose HSA, you have money left over that can go into your HSA contribution. So if that's what you're thinking, so take the 281, divide it evenly.
I have a question real quick. So I'm trying to look long-term. Is your vision then, Pat, that we will forever spend at least this much on health insurance?
You're going to spend more every year.
No, I understand, but so we're just committing that we will never realize a savings, no matter how inexpensive a plan we find, because any savings we're giving back to employees.
If I have my, it's going to be up to us.
I'm just trying to understand what your plan, because this is different than any other. I mean, if we're ever able to find something, you know, if we can do something for cheaper, normally we don't just
give
the money anyway. I mean, it's savings, it's protecting the public. So I'm just trying to understand if we're just, because that happened to be the insurance, what we were paying for insurance, no out of pocket costs for employees, that forevermore now we're going to pay at least that much.
That's for us to decide.
I'm asking what your proposal is.
My preferred? I've done the numbers both. I did numbers with splitting the difference. Putting half back in, giving half to the employees. Is what I did my numbers. And if you split the difference, it's $85 for employee and spouse, the pay period. Employee and child, $69, $69 for employee and children. It's $257 a pay period for a family, so it's going to cost them $500, but they would be getting, everybody would be getting $100 back out of the employees. I put in a $50 contribution to an HSA is $45,600 a year. Put $50 in a pay period. I'm, you know, it just really is going to depend on if what we decide on that. I mean, that's. I think we need to decide if we're going to put all the savings back into it. I mean, there's a lot of savings that we can do for somewhere else, and still, I mean, we have a big question later on to figure out what we still haven't dealt with is how are we going to deal with all the excess vacation and stuff like that? We're going to pay people out on that. So, I mean, there's a lot of money that we could use to do that. I mean, there's a lot of, so it's really going to be depend on, and it's going to be hard. It's going to be really hard to make that decision. But
I really don't feel this first year should drive what we do for eternity. I mean, this healthcare is in such a state of flux. that I really think each year to begin with, kind of got a stand on what you do for that year. And maybe you want to duplicate that next year and what have you, but I'd hate to see us set ourselves up to where, you know, what was it this year? 17% increase. I'm so sure it won't be double that next year, what have you. But anyway, we've got a number of questions. I think you were first.
I'm Robert Ford. I think what it comes down for me, being a family man and having people not insured, I hear the comments about we need to equalize it across the board. I was penalized last year for not having insurance for my wife. A guy who's single in the city paid for their insurance. He was not. So I understand the council's concerns about making it fair across the board. But at the same time, I think my biggest concern is, you know, letting the employees know that this is a family-friendly place to work and that, you know, having a family is considered, you know, when these discussions are brought up. And I just wanted to give my food for thought on that. So, thank you.
Mike.
Mike Borzik, 504 Mid Pine, and touch base on Robbie. I don't care if you're paying 100% of my premiums right now. I don't need a surplus. That's not going to do anything for me. I'd rather have our family guys covered fully or equally so that they're happy digging holes for us than you putting some money in some kind of pot for me, I guess. So I guess that's touch base on that. As a taxpayer, I see what you're saying. I do want to save the city money. But now you're saying you're going to budget $281,000 for premiums, save $100,000, give $50,000 back, and now you are going to take that other $50,000 and put it somewhere else. But that's not what you asked for me on property taxes. You asked for $280,000 on property taxes for medical, and now we're going to take that $50,000 and throw it on some pet project somewhere. I don't know. I've never gotten a refund from the city for saving money. We always spend it somewhere else. So you're not really saving money. You're saving money on medical premiums, but then you're just pushing it off on another parks project or pushing it off on a sidewalk, which is great, but you're not saving taxpayers' money in my two cents. We're pushing that money off somewhere else. So yeah, I hear what you're saying. I do, you know, to lower these costs would be great. But I'm not going to see a lower property tax bill because it's always going to go up. And I don't mind the property tax bills out here. My property tax is $1,000. Where I would come from, that would be $3,000. I don't mind them out here. Property taxes go up out here if the level of care could go up for wages and insurance and whatnot. That would be my two cents, I guess.
If I can just respond on that one.
Sure.
I think one expense that we have not budgeted for is with the whole new employee leave policy and stuff and trying to come up with a cap for vacation so that people are actually using it. We are looking at like $150,000 in vacation that we have to pay for, and that's not budgeted for. And so, you know, either we levy that additional money next year, or if we find some extra savings this year, you know, it's just, I think that's the kind of stuff that we're thinking about where we're
gotcha.
Like, how are we going to have to pay for that? And, you know, that's the big thing that we're wrestling with. So. Not necessarily, you know, like building another gazebo. I love the gazebos. I'm not saying anything bad about that. But, yeah. So, thank you. I appreciate your feedback.
Okay, Bob.
Bob Bachman, City of Kenna. My question is actually for John. And I was just wondering if there's a five-year, three-year, two-year trend of what Select Health is doing as far as increases go. So if we can predict next year we're going to have on average, a 4% trend or anything, then we could, you know, pull that money off the top so that we don't have to worry about it for at least a couple of years, what the trend is. Does that make any sense? So if they average 10% increase over year to year, we instead of giving the full 281, maybe we could pull 10% out of that. And that way next year when we have an increase, we don't have to fight this all over again. It's just a question.
Yeah, for the record, John Marsh, Yeah, that's a good question. That's a tough one to answer in this industry, because Regence this year was 17.3%. Their model is, the past few years, it's been very small, 5% or thereabouts. All of a sudden, they hit you with a 17.3. Select Health's model is a little bit different. When I spoke with their representative, they were more inclined to equalize or try to have a consistent level of increases if they do have an increase. Again, their lowest that she explained to me was 5%. Their highest in any of their plans was 15%. So again, it depends upon a lot of factors. It's hard to say, but I would say that Select Health is going to be more consistent. You can probably expect, judging by the industry, at least a 5% increase on the average. So it's just a wild guess. So,
okay, we're rapidly running out of time here.
This is in the agenda later. We can continue discussion.
Okay. All right. Well, since it is 7, let's adjourn the work session and go into the regular session, and we can come back to discussion later. Okay? All right. We entertain a motion then to adjourn the work session.
I would move we adjourn the work session.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and second. All in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed say no. Motion carried. We're adjourned. Anybody need a break?